Well, kids, if you're a youngster, we're talking about service this morning, and I thought this week that this reminded me of the first sermon illustration I can remember. So I grew up watching my dad preach, but the first illustration that really stuck with me for some reason, and I don't even really know what he was talking about, was the old joke about dogs and cats. So I don't know, kids, what kids here, do you have any, who has a dog? All right, who has a cat? All right, well, depending on how you answered that, you may or may not like this joke that well, but this, again, it was an illustration, I don't know of what, but he said, you know, there's dogs look at their owners and they say, man, you provide for me, you feed me, you serve me, you must be God. Cats look at their owners and say, wow, you provide for me, you care for me, you feed me, I must be God, right? That feels right, just my experience of the two animals, so. Anyway, we are continuing our series this morning on practices by talking about service. And unlike some of the other topics, this is one that we address on a pretty regular basis. My guess is many of you, most of you, have probably heard many sermons and lessons about serving each other. Additionally, also unlike some of the other practices, when it comes to the practice of service, Jesus has actually provided us an explicit example, and then he pointed at it and said, this is an example for you to follow. So in some respects, that makes my job a little bit different this morning. You know, most weeks we have been trying to define what the practice is and then persuade you that that is a useful tool in the Christian life. But from where I sit anyway, Jesus already did that. So if you don't think that serving is important or that it applies to you, you know, your argument's with Jesus, not with me, okay? Instead of doing that, I want to do something a little different. I want to look at the example that Jesus provided in John 13, and then I want us to think about together what makes service not just something we're supposed to do, but a practice. In other words, in what ways is serving other people a means of our own spiritual formation? How exactly does serving form us? So let's start by looking at John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. Now, while you're turning there, I'll just warn you, Dan and Ellie were out all week, so there are no slides and there's no outline, but we're going to be okay. I've got some nice, subtle verbal cues when I'm getting to my main points. It'll be things like first and second. So, you know, we can do it. We can do it. It's old school this morning. All right, John 13, chapter 1 says this. It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin, and he began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around them. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you don't realize what I'm doing, but later you'll understand. No, said Peter, you will never wash my feet. Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is already clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he finished washing their feet, he put his clothes back on and returned to his place. And he asked, do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. And now that I, your Lord, teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So look, serving one another, no question, is something we are supposed to be doing as followers of Jesus. But what I want to ask this morning is, what makes it a practice? How does serving others contribute to our spiritual formation? And I think there's at least three ways that it does that, all right? First, as Jesus tells us explicitly in this passage, service helps us to become more Christ-centered and less self-centered. Oh, we do have a slide. Look at that. When we make a practice of serving others, it produces change in us. Serving others is a tool that helps us center our lives on our own needs and desires and more on Christ. And we can see that in this passage, I think, in at least two ways. You know, first, as the passage illustrates, Jesus himself made a practice of serving others. Notice that when the first servant who would normally wash feet goes missing, Jesus is the first one to jump in and do it. Think about that. Of everyone in that room, it was Jesus who both noticed the need and then jumped in to serve. And it's worth noting, too, this is hardly the exception. This isn't the only time he does that. All four Gospels make it clear that Jesus regularly spent entire days healing and helping the crowds that came to him. If we want to center our lives on Jesus, we cannot ignore the fact that Jesus did not insist that others serve him. Rather, he gave his life in service to others. So it makes us more Christ-centered because it leads us to live in a way that Jesus himself lived. Second, verse 15 makes it absolutely clear to his disciples that there is no way to follow Jesus without also becoming servants. Listen to what he says. He has just finished washing the feet of all the disciples, including Judas, by the way. And just Jesus looks around at all of them and he says, I have set you the example. I've set an example that you should do for others what I have done for you. I think that should grab our attention. You know, Jesus frequently does things that he expects his disciples and his followers to imitate, but seldom does he do what he does here, where he finishes it and he looks everybody, his closest, most committed followers in the eyes, and he says, hey, in case you didn't catch it, this was an example that you are to follow. But here he does. And I think that means we should pay attention to that. I think it means that humble service of one another is not optional. It's not only for the spiritually exceptional. It's not just for those having or lacking certain spiritual gifts. This is an example for everyone. If you want a life centered less on yourself and more on Christ, if you want to follow the way of Jesus, this is the pattern. Jesus said so. Serving others is the Jesus-prescribed practice for creating a life more centered on him and less centered on ourselves. In the movie Groundhog Day, Bill Murray plays the main character who is sort of the prototypical self-absorbed, selfish, self-obsessed working professional, right? And in the movie, he's sent to Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, where he is supposed to his just immense frustration, and try and figure out if this groundhog is going to see a shadow or not. And he is convinced that this whole job is completely beneath him. And he's also convinced that all these country bumpkins he's going to encounter are also beneath him. And he's not shy about telling them. But a weird thing happens, because it's a movie. There's this big storm while he's driving into town. And one of the apparent consequences of this is that he keeps repeating the same day, February 2nd, day after day after day. He lives the whole day, he goes to sleep, he wakes up, it's February 2nd. And all the same people are doing the same things. At first, of course, he's just baffled and kind of confused by this. But after he figures out what's going on, his first instinct, because he's selfish and self-obsessed, is to leverage this knowledge he has about the day that lies ahead for his own amusement and his own benefit. He uses other people in order to make his life better, to do things that he finds funny. But eventually he gets bored of that and he gets frustrated that he can't move on in life. And so he starts doing increasingly extreme things to try and break out of this little time loop. And nothing works. No matter what he does, he wakes up the next morning and it's still February 2nd. And so finally, when nothing else works, he gets to the very last thing he would ever think to do, which is to use his knowledge of the day ahead to make life just a little bit better for the other people around him. And so that's what he does. Just day after day, he starts doing little things to help, to serve, and just to cheer up the people who happen to be around him stuck in this loop. They don't know they're in the loop, only he does. And it's that, and as he does that, something really interesting happens. As he serves them, the selfish and self-absorbed guy finally sees them and understands them and appreciates them for maybe the first time in his life. It's through serving them that he changes, that he learns to see other people for the first time. It's in serving others that he becomes less self-centered. That's one of the ways that serving is formational for everyone, but especially for us as followers of Jesus. Serving others is a spiritual practice because when we do it, it makes us less self-centered and more Christ-centered. Second, serving is formational because it produces genuine humility in us. Look, genuine service after the pattern of Jesus, helps us set aside our ego and our agenda so that we might put the needs of others ahead of our own. To me, the most extraordinary part of this passage comes in verses 12 through 14. Having washed the disciples' feet, having performed what everyone thought of as a lowly task, Jesus looks them right in the eye and he asks, "Do you understand what I am doing?" And it's clear, by the way, from the way they respond, that they don't. I mean, not really. They don't understand what he's doing. So he says this, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am." Now look, I think if we are honest, this is not what we would expect to hear. I mean, why, right, when Jesus has just performed this act of humble service, would he ruin it by immediately then reminding everyone of how important and how high status he is, right? He reminds, why would he do that? He's just done this lowly task and he immediately has to turn them around and say, but don't forget, I'm your Lord. Why would he do that? Well, number one, I think he does it because it's true. He is their Lord and he's a greater Lord than they can possibly comprehend at this moment. But I think the main reason he does it is to make the point that what happened here is not some cute little fiction where for one night only, Jesus pretends that he is a lowly servant, an unimportant person. This is not a show. It's not symbolic service. And I think it's worth thinking about this. He actually really did serve them. They really did need to have their feet washed, and Jesus, their Lord, the highest status person in the room by any conceivable measure, was the one who knelt down and did it. I think Jesus is making the point that humble service is not about thinking less of yourself. It's about recognizing the value of others in the eyes of God. Jesus tells them that right after washing their feet because he wants to make the point that he didn't forget who he was. He just knew their value in the eyes of God. So what does that mean for us? What has Jesus done here? Well, look how he explains it in verses 14 through 16. Here's my paraphrase of that part. Now that Jesus, our Lord and teacher, has performed this lowest, dirtiest act of service for us, none of us will ever be off the hook. Ever. That's what it means. It means no one in Jesus' kingdom, no one in Jesus' kingdom will ever achieve a status so high that serving others is beneath them. You know why? Because no matter how high you climb in this kingdom, guess who's always above you? The King, Jesus. And if it isn't beneath him to serve, it cannot possibly be beneath us. I was thinking about that this week. I think maybe one of Jesus' goals here is that any time we are tempted to think that we are too important or that our time is too valuable to serve in some way or to do some task, that what would happen is that the moment we think this is maybe beneath us, that what we would see in our mind's eye, is our Lord and Savior getting down from the throne, tying a towel around his waist, and setting out to do himself what we thought was too lowly for us to do. I don't know, 10 years ago, I maybe told this story before, I went with a group from this church to the Dominican Republic where we were doing some work projects for Kids Alive, who we have a relationship with down there. Before we left, we had this meeting with the whole team, and during the meeting, we found out a couple things. We found out that what we were mainly going to do was to help them pour a concrete slab for a new basketball court. I didn't know this, but basketball is right behind baseball, is the most popular sport down there. So we found out that's what we're going to do, and we said, look, be prepared. It's going to be hot, and the work is going to be hard. There's going to be a lot of just shoveling and moving gravel, pushing wheelbarrows full of concrete. So get ready. Then one of the guys who helped coordinate and lead the trip, I can't come over here. So one of the guys who was coordinating and leading the trip, he said to us, he said, I want to prepare you for something else. We've been invited down to help them do this job, not to tell them how to do this job. And he said, some of you, you're going to go down there, you're going to see what they're going to ask us to do, and you're going to think you know a better way to do it. And I'm telling you right now, you probably don't. And even if you do, that's not why they invited you down here. These guys are doing this kind of stuff all the time. They've invited you down there to help and serve them. We're going to be servants, not to tell them how to do their job. And I have to admit, sitting there with absolutely no experience pouring concrete of any kind, that rubbed me the wrong way a little bit. I thought, wait a minute. If I see something that's happening and I think I have a better way to do it, I'm just supposed to keep my mouth shut and do what I'm asked? Deprive them of the benefit of, you know, my zero wisdom and zero experience of doing this job? Truly, I mean, I'm saying that to be funny, but, you know, there is part of me going, what? Then the very next moment, what dawned on me is the guy telling me to just keep quiet and serve is by far the most experienced, most skilled construction worker on our trip. He has literally done this work his whole entire life. And in that moment, I just thought, oh man, if he can just be quiet and help, what possible excuse could I have for not doing the same? And you know what I found out? when we followed his instructions down there, we found out the people we went there to help, they're really good at what they do. They do it all the time. They work in that climate all the time. They work in that area with those suppliers. They knew what they were doing. And you know what else I found out? They're really great people. And it was fun to get to know them. And it was a joy to be a blessing to them. Friends, true humility is not pretending that we're less than we are or that we have nothing to offer, that we don't know the things that we know. True humility is recognizing the value of others in the sight of our God. That's the humility Jesus expects from all of his followers. It's the value that he expects us to place on other people and on the needs of other people. And serving is one of the best practices for producing that kind of humility in us. When we serve, we learn to set aside our ego so that we might see the great value of the people around us. All right, so service is formational because, number one, it helps us become more Christ-centered and less self-centered. And number two, because it produces genuine humility in us. And number three, this point is probably going to be different. I changed it. Serving others helps us to live within God's story rather than writing our own. Look, when we're focused on ourselves, as just inevitably happens, when we're focused on our plans and our agenda, it becomes very easy to start believing that we are the authors of our story, that we're in control, that everything is ultimately up to us. That if we only work hard enough, plan well enough, execute cleanly enough, that we can make anything happen. There are at least two problems with this. First, it just isn't true, right? We are not in control. We have agency, but we're not in control. There are many, many things that are just outside of our ability to change. Living as though we are in control, at best, invites disappointment and disillusionment. It's just not true. Second problem is that when we spend our lives thinking that we are the authors of our own story, we miss God's gracious invitation to be partners and participants in what he is doing. We miss out on the joy and the significance and purpose that comes from serving his kingdom. Because only by serving his kingdom do we ever get to participate in his worldwide project to redeem a people for himself from every tribe and every tongue and every nation. Listen, I thought this week, as a staff, we can do better with this. But as a church, we should really embrace this, recognizing the truth of that. Look, every time one of you prays for VBC or for our kids at camp or for the team in the Czech Republic, every time you tithe on a Sunday morning or donate to TOC, every time you help brew coffee for fellowship time or greet people at the door or clean up after church events, you are playing a small part in something global and eternal. And you have no idea. I mean, we have no idea how God, in the grand scheme of things, is going to use that little act of service. Every once in a while, we catch a glimpse. We get to see lives transformed, people committing their lives to Jesus. We got to see that at VBC this year. But even that, even those awesome things, are just the smallest glimpse. But that is the kind of deep significance and purpose that our world is desperately hungry for, desperately seeking, often in all the wrong places. And friends, the incredible thing is God offers that freely to us all the time if we will just put aside our agenda, put aside our story, and live in his. It's why I love that we've made a practice here of reading some of the creeds, some historic Christian prayers. Maybe some of you wonder, why do we do this? Why don't we make up our own, you know, something new and fresh? And we do. But part of the reason I love that we, this morning, for example, prayed the Apostles' Creed together, and I've only started to appreciate this relatively later in my own life, but now I think there's something awesome about that, because you know what that does for me? Is that it grabs me out of my own sort of blinkered, normal day-to-day life, and it reminds me in this powerful way that, whoa, 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 what we are doing when we serve the kingdom, what we are doing when we gather here to worship Jesus, is we are joining with billions of people. I mean, billions of people from across thousands of years in every continent. And one of the things they have always done from the very beginning is to confess the truth of that creed that we confess together this morning. And so when I do that, I have this powerful experience. It pulls me out. It says, stop living in this delusion that you are the author of your story. You live in his story. And what an awesome, joyful, wonderful story to be part of. When we serve, service is another practice that helps us learn to put aside our own agenda so that we can more fully participate in God's. All right, I want to close this morning. You know, we've talked about these three ways, there's more, but three ways that service is formational. But I want to close with one final separate thought here. And I want to circle back to the first few verses of the chapter. I don't know why, but it occurred to me this time studying this passage that I think if you read it for the first time, I think you would find the opening, the little narrative introduction that John provides, to be confusing and maybe even a little bit misleading. I mean, look at it, okay? Just look back at those first few verses 1-3. I mean, John really pours it on. Like, he is building this up, isn't he? I mean, look back at this. You know, you start out right away. We're told right away, verse 1, that Jesus knew that his hour had come. Whoa, his hour had come. Like, it's ominous, right? Dramatic, right off the bat. We are cued in that we are literally approaching the climax of Jesus' ministry, and we're told that Jesus knows it. He knows it too. So John's really priming us here. He's getting us ready. Like, this is a huge moment right here. All right, and then he goes on. He says, jump down to verse 3. Jesus knew that the Father had given him power over all things. So Jesus, in this moment, as he's entering this room and sitting down to this meal with his disciples, what does Jesus know? He knows his hour has come. He knows he's been given power over all things. And look, I think if you had encountered this passage for the first time this morning, you would read this little introduction and you would think, oh man, whatever's coming next is huge, right? Global importance at the very least, maybe cosmic importance. I mean, come from God, returning to God, power over all things. And so then you get down and you're going, all right, man, what's coming next? Well, he gets up from the table and what? And what? Is this the hour? Is this the moment when Jesus is going to restore the kingdom of Israel? Is this the time when he will maybe, you know, single-handedly, maybe with a word, when he will cast out the Romans forever, when he will rededicate the temple? Nope. Knowing all those things, knowing his hour had come, knowing he was returning to the Father, knowing he had been given power over all things, knowing the incredible importance of that moment and the shortness of his time left, Jesus got up from the table, tied a towel around his waist, filled a basin with water, and washed his disciples' dusty feet. So yes, you know, service is a powerful practice that will help make us more Christ-centered. It will help produce genuine humility within us. It'll help us to better live in God's story. But what that introduction also suggests to me is this. It is quite simply impossible to overstate, to exaggerate the value of humble service to our God. It just is. I mean, I just want you to let this hit you one more time. Jesus, God in the flesh, knowing that all things have been placed under his feet, knowing that the very next day he was going to be crucified, could think of nothing else more important to teach, no more important example to set than that they should serve each other humbly in love. And so that night, Jesus left them and us an example. And then he told us explicitly to follow it. I think we should. Would you close with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, I'll just confess to you that it's one of the hardest things for me to wrap my mind around. That the God of all creation, I mean, who literally has power over all things, is the same God who, when he was here with us, didn't think it was beneath him to serve us. Lord, I'm going to confess on behalf of all of us, that is a struggle for us. Our culture, and just about every culture I'm aware of, has always put those two things in tension. The more status you have, the more power, the more education, the more money, the less we feel like we should have to serve others. And yet, Jesus, on this night, in this moment, you gave us a completely different vision. Lord, I pray that you would help us just to receive that, just to recognize the power of that. And Lord, I pray that as we hear your call afresh, to serve one another humbly in love. Lord, help us also to recognize that even here, even as we do this, it's for our good. We will be blessed if we do it. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd help us to do it. Help us to heed that call to serve one another, to serve the people that you bring into our lives. And I pray, Father, that as we do that, that you would help center us more on Jesus Christ. I pray that as we do it, that you, by your Spirit, would produce genuine humility in us. And I pray, Lord, that as we do it, we would become more cognizant of the joy and significance that comes from living in your story. In your name we pray. Amen.